Take a turn to the book of John.
John chapter 1. I'm going to talk to you this morning. This morning's not going to be a very dynamic message. As a matter of fact, it's not going to be dynamic at all. But I do want to get some truths across, and some that some of you may know and some of you may not know, but I think, of course, very important. When we look at the birth of Christ, when we look at the birth of Jesus, we are going to leave the book of Joshua for this week and possibly next week, just so we can again focus on the birth of Christ, again, so vital, so important in history, and not only in our lives as Christians, but also in history. So John chapter 1, I'm going to give you five statements this morning, and we're not going to be long, but I'm going to give you five statements that I think will be a help, and so that you can have a little bit better understanding of the birth of Christ and how important that is. Before we do that, we're going to pray, and then we're going to have a special. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness, and thank you for these folks that are here. Lord, what a blessing to be in church. What a blessing to have the Bible, the ever-living Word of God. And Lord, it never stales. It never dies. It never dries up. It's ever-living and everlasting. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but Lord, your words you've told us will not pass away. And that's certainly a blessed thing. Help us, Lord, as we take it this morning. Help us to shed light on probably one of the greatest events in history. It was the birth of Christ. And so, Lord, just be with us this morning. Give us what we need, and we'll thank you. We'll give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. If I were to ask you this morning, what is Christmas all about? What is Christmas all about? Realize I've let the cat out of the bag, but if I were to ask you that question, some of you would say, well, Christmas, it's a time of joy, and it's a time of Christmas lights. You've got Christmas music. You've got Santa Claus. You've got Frosty the Snowman, and you've got the sleigh bells, the sleigh rides. You've got snow. You've got a white Christmas, and we would all say that, and we would all answer that. Because that's what we are given, that's what we are fed. But really, we need to understand that the true meaning of Christmas, what Christmas is all about, is the fact that Jesus took on the form of a man and came down to this earth. He took the form of a baby and was born in Bethlehem. And as a result of that, that's why we celebrate Christmas. And but I'm going to give you several things. I'm going to give you five statements, and again, it's more of a lesson than it is a message, but I thought it would again bring focus as to what Christmas really is all about. Number one, we need to understand this, and we're going to jump right in. We need to understand that God or God's son was not born in Bethlehem. You know, we think that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but that really isn't what happened. Jesus really wasn't born in Bethlehem. Jesus has always been and forever has been. He has been here from the beginning. Now look at John chapter 1. Look at verse number 1. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So the first thing that we see here is way back in the beginning, you know, the Bible says that the Word was there. Notice, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Way back in the beginning, and the Word was what? So the Word was God, and that's important, because in verse 14 of that chapter, flip over the page if you have to, in verse 14, notice what the Bible says, and the Word, same word as in John 1:1, and the Word was made what? Flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So John here is writing, he says that this Word that was in the beginning, this Word that was from the beginning, this Word that was with God, this Word that was God, notice, in the beginning, and guess what, all of a sudden became flesh, in verse 14, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Notice, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we see here that Jesus was in the beginning, before there was ever an earth, before there was ever Bethlehem, before he was ever born in a body, before he was ever called Jesus. He has always been, and he's always been the Word. He was there in the beginning. He was with God, the Bible says in John 1:1. He was God, the Bible says, and boy, that's very important. We think of Jesus. Oh, Jesus, he was born 2,000 years ago. Well, Jesus, as the Word, has been self-existent forever. Now, he took on the form of a body. He took on a body. He took on as a child, was born as a child and 2,000 years ago. But he has always been. He has been self-existent. He wasn't born in Bethlehem. No, he has always existed. And now look at verse number 1 again. So we see that in the beginning was the Word. Notice, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that's important. And then in verse 14, John says, you know what? He was made flesh, and the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us. And of course, that is as Jesus, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, of course, the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. Now go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Now we're going to use our Bibles this morning. I hope that doesn't bother you. I hope that doesn't offend you, does it? I hope that doesn't give you a paper cut. I'd hate to see Brother Sean cry over here. Philippians 2, and look at verse number 5. I love this passage. Let's just throw in these verses just because I love them so much. Verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. In other words, let the mind of Christ dwell in you, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. It wasn't robbery. Why? Because he was God. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was, notice, made in the likeness of men. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So we see here, guess what? He became fashion as a man, and that means that he took on the form of a man. He took on the body of a child, and then, of course, grew into a man. But he was God. He has always been self-existent. Let's read it. Finish reading verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So we see that he became fashioned as a man, and of course in John 1:14 the Bible says that he dwelt among us as a man, and the word dwelt there means tabernacle. That means he was clothed or housed in the body of a man, so he really camped out here on earth for about 33 years at the time that he was here. But don't mistake it, he has always existed way back when. He was not born in Bethlehem, he has always existed. Now he came to earth in the form of a man, and he tabernacled or housed in a body of a man in Bethlehem, and we called his name Jesus. Now, the second thing that I want you to understand, that it is God and not Joseph who's the father of Jesus. Joseph is not the father of Jesus. The father of Jesus is God, and I want you to see that. Now, take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. You know, the devil enjoys hearing parents tell the story of Mary and Joseph and how Joseph was the father of Jesus. But, Jesus is never spoken as such. I'm sorry, in the Bible. Joseph has never been the father of Jesus in the Bible, and nor he will be. The Holy Spirit is very careful to use every word properly. You know, it's amazing. We hang on every word in some passages and in some topics, and then we forego every word in some other topics and in some other passages. That's just an amazing thing. But no, listen, God understands the English language. I wish I would. God understands the Spanish language, and I wish I would. I wish I could understand any language. The only language that I am completely fluent in is the language of eating. You bring it before me and I eat it, and I'm pretty fluent in that language. But he knows every word. He knows the definition. He created every word. He created tongues. And listen, God knows what words to use when he wants to use them. And look at Matthew chapter 1. And let's allow the scriptures to illustrate this. Matthew chapter 1, look at verse number 18, just so we can get the whole idea here. Look at verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was of this wise. It was of this manner, this way. When as his mother Mary, notice, was a spouse, and that means betrothed to Joseph, and they were engaged. It was a Jewish engagement, that they were married, but they weren't married. The marriage hadn't been consummated. And notice, so he was a spouse of Joseph. She was a spouse of Joseph before they came together. And notice the Bible says she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. You know, that child was of the Holy Ghost. It wasn't of Joseph. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded, notice, to put her away privately. Because he was a fair man, a just man, he didn't want her to go through the humiliation and to be made a public example. So he thought he wanted to put her away secretly. Notice verse number 20. But while he thought on these things, notice, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the what? Holy Ghost. It's of the Holy Ghost. Verse 21. And she shall bring forth, what's the next word? Okay. Let's try one more time. And I realize it's Sunday morning. I realize that you had a great breakfast. And verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son. Notice, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I like that. Notice what the Bible says there in verse 21. Notice the Holy Spirit says to Joseph when announcing the coming of the Christ child that Mary is going to bring forth. Notice verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son. And that's important. The Holy Spirit didn't say, hey, Joseph, your wife, Mary, your spouse wife, Mary, is going to bring forth your child. No. It didn't say your child. It said a child or a son. That's not your son, Joseph. That son is of that which is conceived in her, verse 20, is of the Holy Ghost. And that's important. Why? Because we need to understand that this wasn't Joseph's son. This child, Jesus, didn't belong to Joseph. It belonged to the God, and it belonged to the Holy Spirit. And we see that here, verse 22. Let's just finish reading it so you can get it there. Verse. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, and which being interpreted is God with us. And of course that scripture is from Isaiah 7:14. And so we see that, you know, God is the father of Jesus, not Joseph. Joseph is not the father of Jesus, and like some would teach. And look at verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not. Notice, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. He accepted her. He accepted the child, and knowing that it wasn't his child, that it was a son of the Holy Ghost and of the Holy Spirit. That's important. Now take your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, look at verse number 25. Now, here's an interesting story. They bring Jesus a little bit older, and they present him in the temple. 8 days later, you know, in verse number 21, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Look at verse number 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Notice, he was waiting for the consolation or the comfort of the Israel. Verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. You're not going to die until you see Jesus, until you see the Messiah, the Christ. Verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel. Now look at verse 33. And Joseph and his what? Mother marveled at those things which are spoken of him. Verse 33, let's see. And Joseph and his mother, doesn't say, and the father and mother marveled at those things which are spoken of him. No. And Joseph and his mother, why? Because Joseph was not his father. It was God that was his father. And that's so important. It wasn't his father and his mother marveled at those things. No, it was Joseph and his mother marveled that those things were just spoken of him. And of course, being seen the Christ, he was fulfilled what the Holy Ghost had given him, that he would see the Christ child before his death. And he did. Look at verse 48. If you remember the story, Jesus later on, when he is 12 years old, he is left behind. And we won't take time to read the whole story. He's left behind. And they travel for about 3 days and come back for him. And they finally find him. And of course, if you lose your child for 3 days, you would be concerned. If we lose our child for 3 days, it'd be like a mini vacation. Just kidding, buddy. I love you, man. Just kidding. He said, no, dad, you know. But they come back and they see him. They finally catch up to him. Look at verse 48. Notice what the Bible says. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his father said unto him, son, and his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have stopped thee sorrowing. Look at verse 49. And he said unto him, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not, or know ye not, that I must be about my what? Father's business. Mary said, hey, your father and I have sought for you sorrowingly. And he said, hey, don't you know that I must be about my father's business? What was he saying? That Joseph is not my father. God is my father, and I must be about his father's business. So guess what? That the father of Jesus was not Joseph. The father of Jesus was God. And Jesus wasn't born in Bethlehem. Jesus has always been. He has always self-existed. Has always been present. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that's so important. The other statement that we find that is so important is not only that that Jesus wasn't born in Bethlehem. That Jesus has always been, as the Word has always existed, and that his father wasn't Joseph, but his father was God. We need to understand that Jesus had to be born of a virgin. And he had to be sinless in order to be God's acceptable sacrifice. In order for him to sacrifice, to go to the cross and die on the cross for you and I, to be the ultimate sacrifice or the perfect sacrifice, guess what? He had to be virgin born and he had to be sinless. And that's so important. Take your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 1. Go back to Matthew chapter 1. In Isaiah 7:14, the Bible talks about, I'll tell you what, let me just read it to you. I've got it paraphrased, but in Isaiah 7:14, the Bible says this. It says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And here in Matthew 1, we need to understand that you know what, that Jesus had to be born of a virgin. And of course we say that, and had to be a sinless, had to live a sinless life. Look at verse number 18. We read it earlier there, but look at verse number 18. Notice in verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Here we see that again, that the Jesus was not of Joseph. He was not of the father. He wasn't the father of Christ, and they hadn't come together yet. They hadn't been married there together. It wasn't he wasn't an illegitimate child like some would profess to. No, they hadn't come together as husband and wife. This child was of the Holy Ghost. In verse 19, notice they hadn't come together, and Joseph was a just man, being a fair man and a just man. In verse number 20, we see the angel explaining to Joseph, look at verse number 20, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not. Don't worry to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And again, we show that Joseph is not the father there, that it's Jesus. Verse 23, notice, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, And thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. And how appropriate that is. Emmanuel meaning God with us. And of course, when Christ came to this earth, one of the reasons was to be with us so we can see him and touch him and so that we can put a physical body with a spirit and that was Jesus. He took on the form of a man so that we can understand it, so that we can grasp that. Look at verse number 25 and verse number 20, and notice the Bible says that he knew her not, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And we see there that we see the virgin birth here mentioned again. And again, Mary's purity vindicated that. Guess what? That she hadn't known a man taking place. Look at go to Luke chapter 1. Here in Luke chapter 1, before the birth of Christ, we see the angel here, Gabriel, appearing. And notice what it says. Look at verse 26, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Jesus had to be virgin born, and he had to be sinless in order to be God's acceptable sacrifice. We are running out of time. Luke chapter 1, look at verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a, what's the next word? Virgin. To a virgin. Notice she had not known a man. To a virgin, a spouse. That means betrothed. And again, that means they were engaged in the Jewish relationship. The marriage had not been consummated. Notice to a virgin, a spouse. To a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. Notice, and the virgin's name was Mary. Verse number 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. By the way, Mary was not the only woman that was blessed, or that had been blessed. I know there were others, but the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Verse 29, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what matter of salutation this should be. What kind of greeting is this? What's the angel going to tell me? And verse 30, and the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary. For thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, notice what she says, How shall this be? How can this be? How can this happen? Seeing that I know not a man, seeing that I haven't been with a man, I haven't been together with a man, I've never done anything with a man. Verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And we see here once again the fact that Mary attests to the truth. I guess that, you know what, I haven't known a man. I haven't been with a man. And of course, the angel also tell the how this is, that how this blessed truth, that it is of the Holy Ghost. So we see here that Jesus had to be virgin born. He had to be born of a virgin, and that's important. And you know what I have heard said, you know, the blood comes from the Father. The blood that is passed down to the children comes from the Father. And obviously, Jesus had the blood of God, because God was the Father. And the Holy Ghost, it wasn't Joseph's blood. And that's important. It was sinless blood. And she had to be born of a virgin. And now, and of course, let me say this to you. Mary was, she gave birth to Jesus, but Mary was not the mother of God, she never called she's never called the mother of God in the scriptures and so forth. Now she's the mother of Jesus, but not the mother of God, and many times in the scripture Mary calls him my Savior, which is important, realizing that she also needs a Savior. Some religions will take Mary and will lift her up and will put her on the pedestal, and just because she's highly favored, just because thou art highly blessed. And there are other women in the scriptures that were favored, that were blessed, and like Mary was sinless, and Mary wasn't perfect, and she needed a Savior just like we all do, and that's why she called him Savior. Now, how does this all come together? And I need to hurry. Because when we see it, we see it as Jesus being born in a manger, being born in Bethlehem. But you know what? God didn't see it like that. As God sees it, in eternity past, way back when, before there was ever Bethlehem, before there was ever a manger, before there was ever a world, God saw in eternity past that, guess what, that man was going to be sinful. And that and God, being a just God, would need to punish mankind, and we need to punish sin. And God decided way back from the beginning, God decided to come into the world in the form of a man. God decided to take on a body, to be tabernacle or clothed in a body of man, and to come into this world to pay for our sins, to pay for man's sins, and he did that. And consequently, from God's standpoint, Bethlehem and the manger, guess what? It was just the birth of a body that was to carry the Son of God. The Son of God has always been and has always existed, and but it was to carry the Son of God to fulfill the law and to pay the penalty for sin. Now here's the whole thing. Take your Bibles, go to Romans chapter 6. When we look at the birth of Christ, again, it was God, eternal God, clothing himself in a man's body to come to this earth to pay for our sins. And that was God's greatest gift to us. And boy, that's so important. In John 3:16, we won't turn it for the sake of time. In John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." You know what? We went in there and we gave cards and we gave food, and others gave us cards and gave us stuff. And you folks have been so wonderful. And that was your gift to your pastor and your gift to others and so forth. You know, God had a gift for us. In John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God gave him, and that's so important. Look at Romans chapter 6, look at verse 23. We see here in this verse that that the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." Notice, but the, what's the next word? "Gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." God said, "You know what? I have a gift for this man and for mankind, and I have a gift for this world, and that's Jesus." And that's so important. So that gift that he gave us, and that he's given us generation after generation after generation, was the gift of God clothed in a human body, clothed in as a child, as a baby, that come to be born in Bethlehem as a child, as a baby, to take on the form of a man, the form of a servant, and be made in the manner of man, to die for our sins. Why? Because the Bible says we're all sinners. Romans 3:10, the Bible says, "As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one." Because of that sin, guess what? There's a penalty for that sin. And the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. So we see here that the wages of sin is death. And we'd have to pay for that sin. We'd have to die for that sin and make the penalty for that, the payment for that sin. But God loved us so much that he gave. That was God's gift to us. And he gave us the greatest gift, which was Jesus. Born of a virgin, Jesus taking on and being clothed in the body of man to come to this earth to live a perfect life without sin, to be taken, to be nailed to the cross, and for him to die on the cross to pay for our sins. That was God's gift to us, and that was his gift, and to pay for our sins, to pay for the wages of sin. And it all started when all of a sudden God decided to be clothed in the form of a man, to take on the body of a man and be born a virgin so that he could come to this earth and so that we could actually see him and touch him. And preachers, that's important. He told Thomas, "Hey, come, feel my hands, touch my hands, put your hand on my side." It's that important. And he did that for us, to die for our sins. That was God's gift to us. You know, in Christmas, we'll get a lot of gifts. We'll give a lot of gifts. But let us not forget about the greatest gift, and that was Jesus coming to this earth as a child. Jesus that forever has been, and he wasn't born in Bethlehem. He has forever existed as the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word became flesh, was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And what a wonderful thing, and that was God's gift to us. Jesus. And without him, where would we be? He came to die for our sins, to pay for our sins. Now what we have to do is we have to accept him as our Savior. We have to submit to him as our Savior. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We call on God and we submit to God and we put ourselves under God and we ask him to save us. And the Bible says that he'll save us. God's greatest gift. You know what? We'll accept the craziest thing. We'll accept incredible gifts, expensive gifts, great gifts, free gifts, small gifts, gag gifts, white elephants. We'll accept all of those. But mercy, would we accept the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and that was God's gift to us. May we accept it. I hope that you've accepted him this morning. I hope that you have submitted to him. I hope that you have trusted him as your Savior, because that's so important. That was God's gift to you. I hate for you to accept every gift that there is and not accept the gift of eternal life. Man, how sad that would be. God has offered it to us. He offered it to us 2,000 years ago plus, when Jesus came to earth to die on the cross. That was God's gift to us. And may we accept it. If we haven't accepted it this morning, may we do so. And may we not only accept it, but may we pass the word of the greatest gift that ever was given to mankind. And that was the birth of Christ, the birth of Jesus. Jesus, what a great name. God, Emmanuel, God with us. And what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. He has always been. He wasn't just born 2,000 years ago. No, he has always been. Joseph was not his father. It was God that was his father. And he had to be born of a virgin, and he certainly was, and the scriptures prove that to us. And may we accept that perfect, that unblemished gift that God gave us in the Lord Jesus Christ. May we trust him. May we remember him this season. May we remember him in Christmas. Jesus is the reason for the season. So you trust him and you believe in him and you put your faith in him. Father, I've got to quit. Please bless this morning and help us, Lord, to understand the importance that Christ plays in Christmas. It's Christmas. It's more Christ. It's Christmas. And Lord, without Christ, there would be no Christmas. There would be nothing. Nothing at all. It's not Santa. It's not the snowman. It's not the Frosty. It's not the jingle bells it's Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Help us to see this morning. Lord, there's one here that's never put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe they do so this morning. May they receive that perfect gift, that eternal gift that you have offered them when you sent Jesus to be born of a virgin to die on the cross. Bless this morning, Lord. Work an invitation.